Hello and God bless you. Glad to see everybody. This is Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol, and we're back joined back with you again for King's Kids Part 9. Didn't know it was going to be a teaching series this long, but here we are at our ninth session to discuss what it really means to understand the Father's heart and also what it means to be a child of God. You know, this series all started when the Lord just spoke to my heart and told me I was a king's kid, and having no frame of reference for that, of course, I pondered about that for a couple of weeks, and then the Lord led us to a conference where we heard a Norwegian pastor sharing about the Father's heart. And that kind of took Carol and I back to some original teachings that we were doing back in 1999 with young adults, 20-somethings, people in their college and career age. And when we started that ministry, we started it off from Proverbs 1 and from Luke 15 about understanding the Father's heart. And so the Lord kind of had us to start all over again. Yes. And now with the Fruitful Life Worship Center, those of you that are joined with us and even visiting with us from time to time, the Lord has told us to really get into this and relearn it. Yes. And go back and just start all over again and get his heart as part of the calling that he has on us here and the ministry, the reason why even Fruitful Life even exists. And so here we are going through what we consider to be foundational teaching for Fruitful Life Worship Center, understanding the Father's heart, knowing what it means to be a king's kid. Well, let's begin with the prayer that the Lord gave us, that we say, that we confess, and we pray this all together. It's on the video screen if you want, like, just watch the video screen, or in your Fruitful Life Styles notebook, and right in the front, you have this prayer that we'll all pray together. All right, come on, let's join together. Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the spirit of offense. Where the light of your word exposes my sin, I do not take offense. I will repent and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth.
Come on, let's continue with this prayer on the next page. God says in his word, "Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with me, your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today."
Lord, we thank you now for your awesome presence in this place. And Carol and I right now, we decrease, and yes, that you would increase. Lord, speak, yes, through us, Lord. You know who is here watching. Yes, you know who is listening. Yes, and we trust you, Lord God, to speak into every heart, in every life, into every home. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, King's Kids, understanding the Father's heart. One of our foundation scriptures during this entire time that we've been teaching has come from John, the 14th chapter, verse 18, which says, "I will not leave you orphans." That was Jesus speaking. And he said, "I will come to you." And in the early part of this teaching series, we spent a great deal of time talking about how we as believers have lived our lives as orphans, living our lives as if though we had no parent, as if though we had no power, as if though we had no provision, as if though we had no protection, as if though we had no purpose. And so when you live that way, you make decisions on your own. And we often, many of us have done that, make decisions, and we make it based upon our negative experiences. We make decisions based upon the things that make us comfortable. We make decisions that are going to kind of make us feel good about ourselves.
Make us look good.
Yeah. And so you can make decisions just trying to protect yourself. You can make decisions just trying to provide for yourself. You can make decisions based upon your own plans, your own designs for your life. And so Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so we took the time to look at Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse 20, which says, listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Therefore, there are many plans in a man's. And I kind of added the little phrase orphans in that proverb. But there are many plans in a man's heart. But the word of the Lord says, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. So we took the time to show the difference between our own plans and the counsel of the Lord, and how that word counsel means taking advice, and meaning it means the plans of the Lord, the prudence of the Lord will stand. It means the counsel of the Lord will stand, but it also means the counselor of the Lord, meaning the person, the people that God will bring into your life to give you to give you and I the counsel of the Lord. And that's not something that's unusual or strange. I didn't just throw that phrase in there, counselor. You see it all through the Bible, especially with the kings that God would put in place, that he would, and the judges, right, that he had. You see that a lot in the Old Testament, right, the judges and the kings, who would, God always lined them up with the prophet.
Yes.
Who would bring to them the counsel of the word of the Lord, because there were many plans in those judges' hearts or in those kings' hearts, but it was always the counsel of the Lord that would stand. And those men and women were wise enough, most of them, they were wise enough to at least go and seek out the counsel of the Lord, because they had major decisions to make concerning people's lives and going to war and all those kinds of things. But it's the same for you and
sure,
I.
For your family.
Yeah, very necessary. So it's still the same. So you can have many plans in your heart, but the word of the Lord says the counsel of the Lord, that's what's going to stand. And so we took the time even to let you know a little bit about our past and how we had to receive the counsel of the Lord, which involved everything from going through a checklist to getting prepared to become senior pastors and getting prepared. I mean, just everything from practical training, educational training, to even working on our own family to get ready to do this.
Also a practical, we had a practicum, basically, since we were leaders in the house.
Yeah.
We were able to learn, not only learn from the word, but we were able to put it into practice so that we could gain experience, so that we could gain knowledge, so that we can gain understanding, so that we could gain wisdom.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's been a part of receiving the counsel of the Lord, so that our plans, so that we're really, so that the plans that so that we can even find out the difference between what were our plans and what was actually his plans for us.
Yes.
We made this kind of very strong statement, and it may have shaken some of you at the very core of your being when I said everything that God shows you that needs to be done does not necessarily mean that you and I are the one to do it. And that can kind of shake you when you got all these plans in your heart, and some of you have even started working on those plans and been working on them probably for years. But, and so when you heard me make that statement, you said, where is that pastor? Where did he get that from? Show me in scripture. So I took you to both an Old Testament and a New Testament example. From the New Testament, we gave you John the Baptist, who actually said in his own words that I indeed baptize you with water. He was talking to the people that had come to hear him preach. But he said, but he who is coming after me is mightier than me. He's mightier than I. And he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And so what we see from that principle, the principle of that example of John the Baptist saw many things, and God showed him many things that needed to be done. But John recognized that he was not the one to do those things. He knew that the people needed a deliverer. He knew that they needed a savior. He knew that they needed a major purging and cleansing. But he said, all my role is just to baptize you in water unto repentance so that you turn away from your own way of doing things. But I can't give you the power, and I can't bring that deliverance into your life. There's another ministry that's coming after me that's going to do that. And so we talked about the principle. Some of you, you've been operating in your ministry and in your life trying to do something that God wants a whole nother different ministry to do those things. And so you need to find out, Lord, what specifically am I supposed to be doing? And what are the burdens and things that I've taken on that are not mine?
Right.
And remember talking about that. Some of you have been carrying a lot of burdens, yes, and a lot of heavy yokes. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, which means it's well fitting.
Yes.
And my burden is light. So if you have something that's not fitting and you've got something that's heavy, then you don't have something that God actually gave you. There are some things you picked up because you saw the need.
Right.
And many, many Christians live that way. They live their lives responding to needs.
Yes.
And they feel like they can get delivered from a particular thing, get healed from a particular thing, come out of a particular lifestyle,
yes,
and automatically feel compelled that that's where I'm supposed to go back and minister. But that's not necessarily true. You still have to find out what is the very thing that God actually has called me to do.
Right. You may even have done things that were good, that were things that God would do.
Mm-hmm.
But if God did not tell you to do it, you were still walking in disobedience. You're still missing the mark that God has for you. He has a specific plan for you. He has a specific purpose. He has a specific strategy for you. And if you are not moving in that, then you are missing the mark that God has for you.
So many, many people do that. There are people who have survived cancer, people who have survived rape, people who have survived assaults and survived drugs. But because they overcame it, many feel like they start automatically thinking, I need to go back into that area, and that's my ministry. And so that's what we're talking about, how people have many plans in their heart, but it's the counsel of the Lord. They stuck to the counsel of the Lord.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. You need to be careful that you are doing what God tells you to do. Otherwise, you might even be moving out of a victim mentality.
Yeah.
You were a victim, so you feel the need to minister to other victims who've been through the same thing that you have been through. Be careful. You be God-led, not led by the need.
Very important. So when I made that statement that everything God shows you that needs to be done does not mean he wants you to be the one to do it. The second example that I gave you was King David. Yeah, same David that took down the giant Goliath. Well, years later, when he became the king in Israel, he came to a point in his life where he wanted to build a house for the Lord. And my wife took the time to read that to you from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And I would encourage you to please, please read that entire chapter, 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, because it tells the story of how David had a desire to build a house for the Lord. And he even told the prophet Nathan, he said, you know, he had this desire. And the prophet even told him, David, go ahead and do all that's in your heart to do. But that very night, the word of the Lord says, that the word, the counsel of the Lord came to Nathan, the prophet. That's about verse 5 in that chapter. 2 Samuel 7th chapter, verse 5. The Lord spoke to the prophet. And he was like, hold up. That's something that David wants to do. But that's not what I want to do. And David sees the need. But the Lord spoke very clearly to Nathan to tell David. He said, look, if in all these years that I have dwelt in the tents and in the tabernacle, I could have spoken to anybody at any time and told them to build me a house. In other words, the principle that God was giving the prophet to pass on to David at that time was, look, I don't need you as a human being coming up with something that you want to do for me.
Right.
If I wanted it done, I could have spoken it and told anybody to do it long time ago. And so just because it's something that you see that needs to be done, David, Nathan, the prophet. Listen to that. Here's God speaking to the king and the prophet over an entire nation, the two top men. Listen to this. So if God can speak like this to the two top men in the nation, what do you think he's saying to you and me? Think about that, because there are so many plans that are in your heart, but you've got to stop and deal with this word, wrestle with this. This isn't just Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol trying to destroy your dream and destroy your vision. We're talking about God said to the king and to the prophet, if I had wanted somebody to build me a house, I would have told them first. You don't come and tell me what you want to do.
Right.
I will tell you what I want done.
Yes.
That's what he was saying to them. If I had wanted to have my house built, I could have had that done long time ago. So even though it's a great thing you got in your heart, David, Nathan, you shouldn't have told him, go ahead and do what was in his heart. You, my prophet, you know better than that. You know you don't just tell people to go do what's in their heart. You, as a prophet, know better than everybody else. You wait till I speak, then you say what I say. You don't ever tell people to just do what's in their heart. And that's what we're saying to you right now. We're not going to be the kind of pastors that tell you, yeah, just go ahead, just do what's in your heart. No, our first question is going to be, did God tell you to do that?
Right.
Every time you come up against opposition, every time the deadlines hit you, every time you're up against the wall and things are falling apart and things aren't happening for you, you and I must be able to always come back to this thing. Did God tell me to do this?
Right.
Because if you can't say God told you to do it, you're not going to stand up against the storm. What you're going to do is you're going to quit and you're going to get back into your own efforts. You're going to start being like an orphan,
yes.
Like what we've been talking about. You're going to start trying to make it happen yourself.
Yes.
You're going to try to get two and three different jobs, running around soliciting help from people, big borrowing and stealing, doing whatever you got to do to try to pull off your vision. But that's not how it is within things of God. We're not saying you don't have opposition. We've
right.
had plenty of opposition.
Oh, yes.
But when there's opposition, you have to be able to say, God, you told me to do this.
Right.
Even when Peter was out there on that water, remember that story of how Peter was out walking on the water and the winds and the waves and the storm, they all got his attention. You know the reason why, even though he lost faith in that moment and he started sinking, Jesus could be right there to help him, because the only reason why Peter was out there in the first place was because Jesus, God, told him to. He told him to come. Peter didn't just look out there, see Jesus walking and say, I'm coming on out there and I'm going to do that too. Jesus, if you can do that, then I can do that. No, what he said, Lord, if that's you, the Bible says, he said, you bid me to come. You tell me to do this. If this is you, you tell me. And so when Jesus spoke and said, come, then Peter could walk, could get out of that boat and walk. And sometimes I tell people, and Peter really wasn't walking on the water. Peter was walking on the word. What word? He walked on the word Jesus spoke. Jesus said, come. So he walked out there on the word. Now, when he got his eyes off of the word and start looking at the water, then that's when he started sinking.
Yeah.
But because God had told him to,
yeah.
God could be right there for him. And that's
yes.
the difference.
Yes.
That's the difference. Even when those of us in ministry, no matter what it is that you're doing in your life, in your family, on your job, it doesn't matter. When you are in obedience to God, even when you lose faith, sometimes you lose heart, you get discouraged, you get down, and you do start sinking. But you know why God's going to be there for you? Because you only doing it because he told you to.
Right.
You only out there in obedience. And that's what you really have to be able to say.
Yes.
So one of the things that, so that when the word and the counsel of the Lord came to Nathan to correct both him and David, then we see they made a total different switch. And the counsel came to David through Nathan that God wanted to build and establish David's house.
Right.
There was David trying to build God's house, build God a house. But God was saying, no, no, no. The season we're in right now, it's time for me to build your house. And that's where some of you are right now. I don't know who's watching this video today, but I feel God on this one. Yes. You've been trying so hard to do something for God, but God's been trying to get you to hear this word that he spoke to David. David, it's not time for that right now. Right. What it's time for right now is for me to build and establish your house. I love the idea of all these things you want to do for me. But those are plans and designs and things that are for somebody else. Therefore, the one that's coming after you.
Right.
Same principle as John the Baptist. Yeah. You trying to do something in your season and in your time, David, it's not for you. It's for the one coming after you. So here's the way it works. We see this principle that comes out of this, that God wanted to build and establish David's house because David's descendants would build God's house.
Right.
And that's where most of us are. Carol and I had to come to grips with that, even with our own children and in our family. Certain things we thought we would do, it wasn't for us to do. It's for our children to
yes.
do. What God wanted to do with Chris and Carol was to build our house
yes.
so that our descendants from our house would build the house of the Lord, would build the ministry, would
yes.
build that plan, that yes. dream, that design, all that stuff that we saw, we thought we would build it. No, God wanted first to establish a household and a foundation from which we would launch forth our descendants, and they would be the ones to build the house. Isn't that great? You have to really receive that.
Yes.
So you see that the next one, David then submitted to God's counsel, to the advice, the plan, the purpose of God. David submitted to it. I want to read that to you. I got to go back and read that one to you so you can actually see what David said in response to the word of the Lord coming to him. This is pretty strong stuff. So you look at 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. Let's start at verse 26. And here's what David was actually saying in his response to the Lord. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of your servant David be established before you. See, the prince David submitted to it. He said, okay, then let it be then. If that's the way you want to do it, God, then okay. Then let my house be established. Some of you need to say that to the Lord right now. Lord, let my house be established.
Yes.
Yeah, come on, even put your name in there. Like David said, let your servant David. It says, let the house of your servant David be established before you. Come on, just put in your name. I'll say, let the house of your servant, I'm going to say Chris, be established before you. Come on, put in your name. Let's say it again. Let the house of your servant be established before you. Come on, say it again. Let the house of your servant be established before you. Yeah. Come on. Praise God on that one. That's what this is about. He's trying to establish your house right now. Some of you, your bodies need to be healed. Your emotions need to be healed. Your finances need to be healed. Come on. Yeah, that's what this is about. He's trying to establish your house. He doesn't want your children to go out and have to start all over again. That's whether your natural children or your spiritual children. He wants you to be strong. Some of you need millions of dollars established and set up in your bank, not just for you to live large off of, because there's tremendous ministry
right.
that your children, yes. natural and spiritual, have got
yes.
to do. And they don't need to come forth from this season in time still trying to solicit help and
right.
knock on doors and get somebody to help them to get started. No, that's you.
Right.
You're the one supposed to be getting all that in place. And God is saying to you, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to do that for you. He's trying to establish your house. He's trying to establish my house. Oh, isn't that awesome? Then look at the rest of what David said. Verse 27. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. I love that. Here's the Lord. Here's David saying, God, you done spoke this to me and said, I will build you a house. Yeah, come on, right there where you'll say, Lord, go ahead, build my house. Build my house. Yeah, you promise him. You speaking to me right now. You saying, I will build you a house.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
Oh, we bless the name of the Lord. And then verse 28, here's the prayer he prayed. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. You have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. You, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing. Let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Come on, tell the Lord, yes, Lord, bless my house.
Yes, Lord.
Bless my house. Come on, just do like David did. Lord, bless my house forever. How could he say forever? We know when talking about King David, the things that God was going to do, even bringing Jesus through his line. But I'm speaking prophetically to you today. There are things that God wants to do multi-generationally in your house. But he needs you. He needs you and me right now in this season we're in right now. To stop trying to build him a house and let him just build yours. Go ahead and say, Lord, build my house. Lord, bless my house. Lord, establish my house. That's what he's saying to you and I. Oh, my Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And then here's, I didn't even got to some of even the best part. He said, then the next thing is David prepared his descendant to build the house for God. And we're going to get into that. I'm going to show you how David, what he actually did. He got his descendants ready. And well, how could he get them ready? Because God gave him the resources to get them ready. God gave him everything that he needed to get his descendants ready. Some of you, the reason why your ministry and everything hasn't worked yet is because this isn't a priority to you. You haven't even thought about it. It hadn't even occurred to you that what you need to be doing is getting your descendants ready. You've been so focused on what you want to do in ministry. You have seen yourself out praying for people, ministering to people, blessing, being a blessing to people everywhere. All that, and that's wonderful, but that's not the priority of God. Right. Here's God's priority. Yes. He wants you to get your descendants ready. Yeah, because it's been so long, especially here in America, where America, because it's built upon making business and capitalism and all those kinds of things, unfortunately, many, many people in the church, especially in ministries and those who desire ministry, they really think that the way they're going to get their house built and established and get money coming in, all that, is going to be by being out ministering. And if I get out ministering and I get my 501c3 incorporation and I get donors, get people sending in money and all that kind of stuff, that's how my house is going to get built. And that's how I'm going to get money. That's how I'm going to be able to build an inheritance. And that's not it at all, folks. That's not the way it's done. First of all, it's submit to the word of the Lord. Let me build your house. You don't go and try to build my house, and then while you're building the house of the Lord or building a ministry, money comes in, and now you start, then you, later on in your life, then you start thinking about passing it on to your children. No, right from the start, here he is. He's got David right here at the beginning saying, before you try to build me anything, let me build you. Yes. And when I'm setting out to build and establish your house, here's the priority that you must have. Your priority while I'm building your house must be this: get your descendants ready.
Yes.
Get your descendants ready to build my house. While I'm working on your house, you get your kids ready to build my house.
Yes.
Isn't that, I know this sounds radical. I know this is like, oh my Lord, some of you never heard nothing like this in your life, and mostly because it hasn't been a part of most of our lives. I don't even know who's here and who's not here, but I can venture to say that most of us have not had parents that were fathers in particular that passed on an inheritance to us. And I don't even, and so most of what we have inherited has just been their physical traits, or maybe some of their attitudes and dispositions and things like that. That's the only thing we know about inheriting things from our fathers. But we don't even know, we don't even have any idea. In fact, most of us, and it's not to put our fathers down. I'm a man, I am a father, so I know how important this is. But beyond just simply even thinking about just passing on money, we really haven't even thought about actually receiving purpose from God or from our fathers, just in the natural. That's why you'll see, and particularly in some people groups throughout the nation, family businesses. That's the best example I know, where kids grow up already learning the family trade and learning the family business, because one day they will inherit the business and they are expected to keep it going. That's what this is talking about.
Yeah.
That type of life and family is what this is talking about. Well, even as you're growing up, your father is teaching you what his father taught him, because one day you will have to carry on the family business. That's what this is about.
Yes.
Because we've got to get our kids ready to carry on, because this is the kingdom of God. This is the family business.
Yes.
And so God expects us, oh my Lord, he's expecting us to pass on the family business to our kids. So you don't think that God's very wise. He's not going to dump a whole bunch of money on us, and he knows that we're going to be like that, like the prodigal son. Remember going all the way back to that story? He knows that some of us, you just want your inheritance. Give me my part so I can go, and all you're going to do is waste it. You're just going to waste it. And so some of you, God has given you your wasteful season. You've had your time where he gave you a few things and let you go out, squander it. Some of you, you've even squandered your very life. Your very life. You've squandered years. You've wasted years. You've been a prodigal for a long time.
Being self-centered, being selfish.
Yeah. And so even though God loves you, and that's even that happened in that story of the prodigal son, that father received his son back, gave him the ring, put shoes back on his feet, gave him a robe, all those kinds of things. But you know what? Even with that promise, because that's one of the things that was going to happen, that he was going to again be restored and he would receive an inheritance once again. But one of the things that's, I can say this out of the culture of that day, he was never going to receive as much the second time as he did the first time.
No.
So there is loss. When you squander, there is loss. And some of you, you're living in that reality that I don't have that much time left and I don't have that much money left. But here is what the Lord is after with you, that with what you do have left, make this a priority. Lord, build my house.
Yes,
establish my house.
Lord.
Yes, Lord, because from this point on, I'm going to get my spiritual and natural children ready.
Yes.
I'm going to get them ready to take on the family business. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to share with them what this is really all about,
right?
So that can get them ready for it.
And I know that can seem like an awesome task to set yourself to, but God is not just a redeemer of life; he's a redeemer of time. And if you really set your mind to follow God, you set your heart to follow God, believe me, he will redeem the time that has been lost. He'll restore broken relationships.
Yeah. So you want to take a quick look before we get into these. We're down to our last few minutes here, but I want to share this with you because this is very important. The next thing we see that David did in getting his descendants ready to build a house was David sold into a work, a plan, and a vision that he would not live to see. This is the ultimate in unselfishness.
Yes, it is.
When you can actually start building and preparing to pass on something that you may not even see it yourself. The children of Israel, especially in particular, most of its leaders, have this understanding all the time. I think about how when they had the word, even before they went into slavery, you know, in fact, in particular, it was Joseph. Joseph knew that his descendants, they were not going to stay in the land of Egypt. In fact, they had only gone there because of the famine anyway.
Right.
And so he knew that they weren't going to stay.
Yes.
And so he left instructions that when you guys leave here, carry my bones out. Don't even leave my bones in Egypt because this is not my home.
Yes.
And so when, not if, but when you guys leave, I want you to remember to take my bones out. Well, it was over 400 years before that happened. But think about it. Somebody kept that request, passing it on down generation after generation, so that when God used Moses to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, listen to me. When they carried those bones out, the only reason why they knew to carry Joseph's bones out because somebody kept that word going.
Yes.
They kept that request going generation after generation after generation. That's what we mean about doing. And so about sowing into a work, a plan, and a vision that you won't even see. Joseph knew he wouldn't even be around, but he made the request. And even there were generations later that even though they knew they would never see the day that Joseph's bones would be carried out, they still passed it on.
Yes.
That's what we mean.
They passed the promise.
They passed the promise on. The promise was that we're leaving here one day. So that's what that was what that was connected to. Carry those bones out means the only reason why Joseph would make such a statement is because God showed him that one day we're leaving here.
Yes.
And so keep this request going, because when you keep that request going, you keep that promise going. Right. You keep that word going.
You remember
that. So we still have a hope. We still have a future.
Yes.
And so that's what it is for some of you right now. You are like Joseph in your family, and you need to declare and make the request and the promise.
Yes.
Even though you may not see it, you may not live long enough to see physically the things that God has shown you, but you need to put that request, you need to put that promise and that word to your descendants right now. And say, when the day comes and this ministry has 500 people, or when it has 5,000 people, when the day comes and we've opened up 10 and 15 homes for children, when the day comes. So you need to speak like that.
Yes.
And even though I may not be around to see that, here are the things that I want you guys to remember to always do.
Yes.
I want you guys to always make sure that this happens. You said, Pastor, that sounds so morbid and that sounds so sad.
No,
it's like
definitely.
I'm writing my last will and testament. But no, you're speaking hope and faith, and you're doing what David did. You're sowing into the future.
Yes.
And it's got nothing to do with whether I'm here or not.
Right.
It has to do with God's word is true. And it's multi-generational.
Yes.
And so let's take a look at how David actually got his descendants ready. Look at 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, and then next time we get together, we'll kind of continue on with this, but I really want you to grasp this. From 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, starting at the 5th verse, it says, "Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparations before his death. Catch that. Can you see that? My son is young and inexperienced, but God done showed me something awesome. And so I'm going to get my son. I'm going to make sure that he is prepared to do this awesome thing that God has shown me. Now, here's one of those areas, and this one of those places where, especially in this generation, you got to move into a whole different way of thinking. And that is, many of you, you'll do whatever it takes. You'll prepare. You'll just do anything. Whatever's the price, no matter what it costs me, if it's something that I'm going to do, that I get to participate in, that I get to enjoy, that I get to see the benefits of. You know, it's like the difference between, I remember hearing my pastor share this story, that many people like to plant flowers because they're going to grow up quickly and they get to enjoy the smell. But not many people like to plant trees, because when you plant trees, for the most part, it's going to be sometimes 10, 15, 20 years before you see that tree in its maturity, bearing fruit.
Yes.
And so many times when you plant a tree, especially if you're a homeowner, most of the time, most homeowners who plant trees never get to enjoy it. They usually sell the house and move before they ever see anything from that tree. So when you plant trees, you're planting trees for somebody else. Catch that.
Yes.
So, but most people like to plant flowers because they're going to enjoy that. But flowers, for the most part, are seasonal.
Yes.
But trees, you're not going to see that for a long time.
Right.
And so you got to be willing to be one that plants tree, because tree is something that's built to last long, long time. And so here's David with that understanding, and here's what we're talking about for you and I right now. Are you willing to plant trees? Are you willing to make abundant preparations for somebody else? Abundant preparations for somebody else. Now you kind of puts everything into perspective that God, yes, he wants to incredibly bless you, but he's getting you ready for the real reason. So I want to close out with this. You got to be released from the orphan spirit, because the orphan spirit is only concerned about what you're going to receive in the here and the now for myself. So come on, receive the love of God. We're asking you to feel the heart of God on this and submit to the word of God. Stop trying to build a house, a work, a ministry, even for us, a church. Don't even try to do this stuff for God. Allow God to build your house. Allow God to bless your house. Allow God to give you even the discernment of what season am I in.
Right.
Can you hear that today? Can you hear us today?
Remember, the word of God says that unless God builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain.
Yeah. So let him do it. Let him build your house. Let him build your house. Let him establish your house.
Yes.
Let him bless your house.
Yes.
Woo! Let him bless your house. Come on, can you receive that right now?
Yes.
Here and now, just receive it. Lord, bless my house.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, allow God to give you discernment for the season that you're in. Some of you have to answer this question. Is it time for God to build your house? Others of you, is it time to prepare your seed to build God's house? Yeah. And here's another one. And we're going to get into this one next time. Are you a descendant who must receive the plans and prosperity to build the house of God? Oh, I can't wait to get to that next week. But but I do want to just close out to at least give you this much, and especially this last point here. Some of you, in fact, I think that in some ways we kind of serve in each one of these positions in some way or another. There are certain things that Carol and I, we are the descendants.
Yes.
I know that if even from the standpoint of being sent here from St. Louis to Harrisburg, so we are second generation. There are some things that are being passed on to us from our home church.
Right.
And so from that standpoint, there are certain things that we are descendants and we are receiving. You know, we were part of the building of a house. We watched God with our pastor build the house, and he was getting us prepared to receive so that we could go and build the Lord a house.
Yes.
But we were actually watched, in a sense. He's not my dad, but from a spiritual standpoint, we were children within a house that was being built,
yes,
that God was building so that we could be sent out to go and build a house. And that's what God wants to do with some of you. So sometimes you may find yourself, you know, some of you are like you are the descendants receiving plans and receiving the preparation. Others of you, you're more like the fathers, and your role is to come on, just let God just build and now get somebody else ready.
Right, preparing seed.
Yeah. And so you got to get discernment. Lord, what season am I in? Am I a descendant who must receive plans and prosperity to build a house? Or am I in the role more like the first generation or like the father who's just supposed to be receiving the blessings and the prosperity so that I can get my seed ready? I believe in some way or another, we're all working in all three of these categories. It's time for some of you. It's time for you, God, to build your house. Some of you, it's time for you to prepare your seed to build a house. And some of you, you are actually the descendant who's receiving all of the blessing and the plans and everything. And so next week we're gonna get into the details of all of that, so that we can really get fuller release from this orphan spirit and just get blown away by all the stuff that God wants. So I've been waiting. Next week will be the 10th lesson. I've been waiting for lesson 10. I couldn't wait, but I got one more time to wait to give it to you. But it's going to be awesome. Don't you miss it. Don't you dare miss it, because we're going to show you some of the stuff that God has prepared just for you and me. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, everybody right there where you are. Just bless the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You are an awesome God. You're a wonderful King. Lord, we're your children, and we're so blessed by you. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing wisdom and insight, even in this word. Thank you, Lord God. We bind the work of the enemy that is trying right now to make someone take offense at this word. Lord, we stop the plan of the enemy that will cause others to feel accused. And Lord, we pull down all of the strongholds that's of condemnation, where we feel like we don't measure up, and some of us, we don't have any money, and things have fallen apart. So the enemy's tried to make this word condemn us, but we pull it all down right now in the name of Jesus. We choose to bless you, Lord. It's your word. Your word comes to heal me, it comes to change me, Lord. That my destiny is different now.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. I have a new destination. Lord, we're going to live in your purpose, in your plan, in your will. God, no makes no difference what my circumstances say right now. No money in the bank, living in a neighborhood that I don't want to be in, kids going to a school I don't want them in. Lord, oh my Lord, things are falling apart. Nothing seems to be working right. Got all kinds of disconnection notices, Lord, on my utilities, and even my rent or my house payment is behind, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But Lord, I hear your word to me today. Yes, Lord God. Yes. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Yes. Lord God, I know these pastors aren't preaching this word to put me down and make me feel condemned, Lord, but this is to bring life, to bring healing, to bring restoration. Yes Lord God. So again, we say, Lord, bless my house. Yes. Lord, establish my house. Lord, build my house. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. Amen. Jesus.